John Morosi, good morning, our MLB Network and Fox Sports Insider. Any chance that any of these guys get claimed and a deal is worked out?
I'm saying there's a chance.
No, I know, but that means there's not a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. I think varying degrees. Of course, we know with Marco Estrada, based on what John Gibbons said yesterday, he is not going anywhere. But I was told yesterday, in fact, that the Marlins are willing to engage. Those are the words I was told by a source. Willing to engage on Giancarlo Stanton, who just might this year become the first player since Maris, outside of course, those brackets that you might place around Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa, to hit 60 or more home runs.
Explain to us why they would be willing to engage on a guy who is the one reason that people are going to the ballpark in Florida now.
Well, that's a great question, and the answer is, I think, multifaceted. Number one, that contract is large. $295 million still left on that contract for the next 10 years. So that's a lot of money. And from a pure business standpoint, his value is probably at an all-time high right now, at least in terms of his performance on the field. So there's a certain school of thought that you seize upon that opportunity. If you're not going to win right now, that you might as well unburden yourself of this contract and then restock your farm system, which is in not very good shape right now for the Miami Marlins. But clearly, Elliot, to your point, you would not be doing this unless it was with the blessing of the incoming ownership group, which makes this story so fascinating. Because Derek Jeter comes in, along with Bruce Sherman, and they're the new group, which we think will happen by the end of the calendar year. Obviously, it has not been approved yet. But if you're Derek Jeter, you want to be able to say to the fans of Miami, I'm coming in, it's going to be a different era of Marlins baseball, we're going to run the franchise differently, we're going to compete. You don't have to worry about your superstar players getting good here and then being traded away as they were under the previous ownership group. But then we're going to trade Stan right now too. So there's a really big disconnect, I think, guys, from a standpoint of what the messaging is going to be with the new ownership group and any sort of trade of Stanton. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but it would be a very tricky, I think, political explanation to offer right at the beginning of your tenure, that what you have to sell is your credibility as an owner and that you are going to be different than all those who came before. The Wayne Huizenga fire sale, Jeffrey Loria as well. And even though they don't own the team right now, this is not a move that would be made without their approval. You would have to talk to Derek Jeter. You would have to get his permission. And so that's to me what would make this a very tricky decision to make if they go down this
road. Well, and you're in the middle of the franchise sale next off season in the winter, and especially when teams can everybody's 0-0 again, John, and teams can reset where they're at with salary structure and salary commitment. Of course, yes. Then it becomes like a Miguel Cabrera situation was when Florida moved him for a bunch of younger players, and that was more the Loria reset than the Huizenga reset. But nonetheless, you go to that scenario and you say, of course, Giancarlo Stanton could play for some, but he's not going to somebody right now, and it makes no sense for the Marlins to acquire futures just for the next 2 months in the middle of a sale.
Well, Greg, a lot of good points there. I would say this, that the only reason to trade him now as opposed to the winter, I guess there are two reasons. Number one is that him chasing 60 home runs and giving a team a boost in the playoffs does add value. I mean, he becomes a more valuable player if he's chasing history and also if he has a chance to impact your 2017 playoff run than if he doesn't, than if you have to wait till wintertime. So there is, to me, a bit more value if you can do it now as opposed to the wintertime. But the other piece of it is that it gives Jeter some degree of cover. It we would all know, talking on this show, that this was done with some degree of assent or approval from the incoming group.
Yes.
But
yeah.
But but it would give you some shred of ability to tell fans, hey, that happened. That you traded Stanton before I got here, so I had nothing to do with that.
That's true. But the one thing you got to say, the one thing, there's not that many pennant contenders that need to sell tickets for a guy selling 60 home runs, chasing 60 home runs.
However, this is what makes it so fascinating. A number of the teams that would want him are not really strong contenders, and they would still want him now. If now is the time he's going to be traded, then you want him now because he is someone that is going to impact your team for many years to come. Such as if you're the Giants, a team with World Series trophies this decade that has hit the fewest home runs of any team in the majors this year. Stanton himself has hit nearly as many home runs this season as the San Francisco Giants. So they need to find a way to get more power, and Stanton is that guy. The Los Angeles Angels, they've got Josh Hamilton coming off the books at long last. They could now finally make a move where you effectively replace Hamilton's money with Stanton's money, and it really does not materially affect the structure of your payroll all that much with the rest of the team. If you believe Stanton, who, by the way, is from Southern California, and if he goes to the Angels, would give them a phenomenal marketing boost in comparison to the Dodgers, who right now are the hottest thing in baseball.
But that's what Pujols was supposed to.
It also makes a lot of sense competitively and marketing-wise. And the last team I'll mention, it's the same division, but they are about to cycle through with Jason Worth leaving, is the Nationals. This is the same team, the Nationals, that has three wounded outfielders right now. And if you bring in Stan, you have a phenomenal upgrade to your club for right now. And also the GM who signed him to that mega extension with the Marlins, Dan Jennings, now works for the Nationals. So there's a lot of little subtle storylines there that I think for those three teams, Giants, Angels, Nationals, all do make a lot of sense for Stanton.
Right, there's no question that the Houston Astros took a beating even from inside their own clubhouse at the trade deadline. We talked about Verlander, and that is a lot of money. And there's no question, whatever the payroll is right now, Houston saved a lot of money over the last few years and what they weren't paying. Does that help mitigate the possibility that this guy is going to be a lot on the books for the next couple of years? And are they in on this? Are they talking?
Well, that's an excellent point, Elliot. And that to me is a key point. Houston is the fourth largest city in the United States. The fourth largest, which I think not a lot of people always realize from the standpoint of their market size and what their ability to pay is in the Major League Baseball. But to your point, Elliot, their franchise's payroll has been very, very closely monitored and maintained at a much lower spot than what you would expect from the fourth largest city in the United States. And so next year they have the capacity to add Verlander, because so much of their team, Altuve has a very affordable deal, Correa, Bregman, Springer, they all are making relatively low salaries, certainly in comparison to what their output is. Keuchel, McHugh, same thing. So this is a team that has the ability to add. They have been talking with the Tigers. I was told that basically that the conversations on Verlander are in a spot where, while there is not progress being made right now, they're at a spot where they could be resumed with a fairly easy level of entry to the discourse, if you will, based on the fact they have had some substantial talks already. So nothing active, but I do think that the Tigers and the Astros each know where the other stands, and if it becomes time to do business on August 30th to 31st, that conversation, I believe, is about one phone call away from becoming very, very serious very, very quickly.
John Morosi, our guest, Brady and Price, 8:16. The Angel Hernandez, Ian Kinsler, not really a tete-a-tete. It was almost one-sided from Kinsler after he was ejected. There's no question he's going to face some sort of discipline, but I would guess in the baseball community, as well-respected as Kinsler is, he caused some controversy with the World Baseball Classic comment, too, that we talked about with you back in March.
Right.
But do you look at Kinsler and say, there's a lot of players that'll send him checks and pay the fine? How do other umpires even feel about Angel Hernandez? It's obviously this fraternity that sticks up for each other, but when one guy is so castigated, don't the others feel he's making them look bad?
That's a very good point, Greg, and I do think there is some element to that sentiment as well. I have not had many detailed personal private discussions with umpires about Angel Hernandez, but he is clearly a very divisive figure in the game, and I think that the complaint you will hear about him is that he will occasionally maybe insert himself into these conversations in the game and or make a bit of a bigger deal of things than really is needed. And I think that happens. Now, that in some respects, that's no different than Joe West. Some would make the same statements about Joe West, but it seems as though, Greg, that you're right in that Angel does often find his way in the middle of these controversies, which I think does detract from the game. And that's Ian's point, that it really is counterproductive to the sport, especially if it's combined with a degree of inaccuracy on calling balls and strikes. So I think Kinsler's points were well taken. I still think, as you point out, Greg, Kinsler likely is going to be disciplined for this. Whether it's a fine, whether it's a suspension, I think the commissioner's office, on a certain level, you have to make sure you stand up for your employees in this case. And to have Kinsler say that he is really in a material way detracting from the game is a fairly damning critique, and one that I think will certainly not pass by Park Avenue without some notice there and recognition by MLB.
But you know what? Sooner or later, MLB is going to have to go to court with this guy or settle out of court because he has sued them for his position inside the game right now. And I think that there's people actually over there going, yep. Because let's face it, I mean, you don't have to say it out loud, but there are players in Major League Baseball, many of them, that do not think, this is not a singular opinion on Ian Kinsler on the capabilities of Angel Hernandez as a Major League umpire.
Very true. Yeah, no, he is certainly not alone. And Greg's point was well taken, and yours as well, about where all this stands regarding Hernandez and his future in the game and his standing in the game. I think that there is a fairly high level of opinion where Angel might be considered even more unpopular among players than even a Joe West would be. I think that's the case. I think that there's a real sense that perhaps among players that there is both an inaccuracy of his calls and also a bit of a personality conflict that he brings to the table, neither of which really does the game a lot of positivity in the minds of those players. So I think that's what Ian was articulating. We will see if there is a groundswell of common opinion among the other players about this, but clearly right now it is a very tricky situation for MLB and Angel Hernandez.
We have a great division race in the Central with three teams. Pittsburgh was here. They looked lousy, and they're probably not in it, even though they're under 500, but 4.5 games is 4.5 games. Is it getting enough attention? We got five teams that'll probably, if we think the Red Sox are going to pull some distance between themselves and the Yankees, we're going to have five division races that'll probably get decided by about September 10th or 15th.
Yeah, very, very good point, Greg. And I think that we look at this, and the National League Central is probably the one great division race still left. The Brewers have rather gamely hung in there. I thought that they were really in peril to be left behind by the Cubs about 10 days or so ago, but they have hung in there. And the Cardinals, their resurgence has been one of the stories of baseball in the last 10 days or so as well. So with the way they've played, really ever since Mike Matheny talked about the possibility of Yadier Molina being tired, Yadi has basically taken control of that division race. So they've been fun to watch. I think that their group, Tommy Pham, has done an outstanding job. I think he doesn't get enough credit there with the St. Louis Cardinals. We should make sure we mention his name. But I think that is the one great race left division-wise. And also with the wild card in the American League, there was some great research done by our group at MLB Network Television. And the point was made that right now, at least when we looked it up, that there were six different teams within four games in the second American League wild card, which is the most number of teams that's ever been in competition for a playoff spot of any kind since the wild card era came into play as of September 1st of any given year. So we are headed for what would be the most competitive conclusion ever. And oh, by the way, that possibility of the three-team or four-team tiebreaker that would have people and reporters like myself shoveling all around the country day after day for different games, which would be a little tiring, but it'd be a lot of fun. So I would say sign me up for that if we can make it happen, because I would enjoy the heck out of something like that with a three or four-team tiebreaker before the postseason even begins.